In this episode, I'm talking to Sarah Wardle. Join me now.
Come with us on the Being Imperfectly Perfect journey, where Anna brings to you guests who have overcome challenges and often their own thoughts of self-doubt and criticism to accept who they are, allowing them to live the life they really want.
So over to you, Sarah. Tell us a little bit more about you and why you're here with me today.
Hi, thanks, Anna. I'm Sarah. I'm one of Anna's clients. I'm a virtual executive assistant. I've been working remotely for the past 4 years now, working with clients such as the government, in cabinet office, also in aerospace and defence. And most recently, I've worked on a project called NEOM in Saudi Arabia. And yeah, I've been invited to come onto the podcast by Anna, and I was really excited to accept. So yeah, happy to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being here, Sarah. So first of all, tell me a little bit more about what being imperfectly perfect means to you.
I think to me, it just means being just being yourself, being authentically yourself. You know, ultimately, that's your superpower, being yourself, just accepting who you are.
I love that answer, and just accepting who you are. So within that and accepting who you are, what would you say to anyone who is maybe in a place that they're trying to find themselves, they maybe don't know who they are? Because I think we can go through those times, can't we?
Yeah.
Can't we? When, you know, we don't maybe really know who we are. What kind of tips and guidance would you maybe give to someone in that position?
I think for me, meditation has been a big help for myself, particularly when I've been stressed about things, just to take that time out and just have some time to yourself during the day, just to sit and, you know, switch off, calm the mind and help you focus more, helps me sleep better. So I think that's one of the things that I've learnt. And also, you know, stress is not, it's not a good thing, which I've learnt most recently because I ended up in hospital because I just burnt myself out so much. So I think now I don't really tend to get stressed about things now from what I've been through. I think it's just, you know, it's how you deal with it, how you look at things. And, you know, ultimately, it's not worth getting stressed about things.
I love that. And I mean, if you don't mind telling people a little bit kind of aware of where you are, we kind of have this running joke, don't we, Sarah, that we are kind of like the blonde workaholics,
yeah.
Kind of like society kind of thing. So tell us a little bit more about your journey most recently over the kind of last year, I suppose, where you did hit that point when you were like, you know what? Enough is enough. I've been pushing myself in every single area.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that and kind of what led to that and then how you got over that.
Yeah, I think for me, it's having more boundaries, because I just tend to keep saying, oh, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I'll take more and more things on, carry on working late into the evening. And then ultimately, you know, I've burnt myself out by doing that. So taking on more clients than I should have done. And, you know, I've learnt the hard way from it by ending up being ill. So now I know where my boundaries are. I know I've started saying no to more things, because I think, you know, if I don't look after myself, then I can't look after other people. So that's what I've learnt.
I love that so much. And what you've just said is so key. And as you know, through the work that I do with you guys, actually putting yourself in the centre and putting yourself first is so key. But I think as women especially, and I don't want to leave men out here, I don't think it's just women, in a modern day society, we can be very good at not putting ourselves first. So what are your, I suppose, top tips to someone about actually using the swear word, right? The no word that we don't like to use. What top tips have you got for someone to start using that word?
I think for me, I just tend to go on my gut feeling now. If I get asked to do something or I get an invite to something, I'll just go on my gut feeling. Does it feel, is it something that I want to do? If it is, if I get excited about it, then I will accept it. But if it's something where I think, no, I will say no now. Whereas where in the past I'd think, oh, I can't say no to that because I don't want to let somebody down. But now I've set my own boundaries to think no, because if I don't put myself first, you know, I got to protect my own energy.
I love that. And even within kind of putting yourself first, what are the key things now that you do to look after yourself, to kind of help you feel, you know, energized and rejuvenated and all these things? Maybe, you know, someone's listening that maybe is where you were prior. They're in a position that they're burning the candle at both ends, as we like, you know, as we like to do, right? And they don't even know where to start. What would you say? What's the first step to start putting yourself first?
I think setting boundaries has been the key for me. And now I used to work crazy hours, so I'd be working from, say, 7 a.m. through till, you know, 6 p.m, 7 p.m. But now I've stopped myself doing that. I work from 8:30 till 5, and 5 is the cut-off point, and I make sure that I log off. And I think also just having time for yourself, making sure that you do have time carved out in the diary for yourself, even if it's just, you know, just to go for a walk at lunchtime or go for a run. As I say, meditation, that's been life-changing for me, just to have that me time, just to... It helps my mood as well, helps me sleep better, helps me focus more, feel more creative as well, more productive after I've been meditating. And I think also fitness, that's key to my own personal journey. I think running, for one, where I can completely switch off if I go for a run, and also going to the gym and doing weight training, just to have that time, even if it's just 30 minutes or an hour, just have that time for myself and make sure that I stick to that routine. Because once that routine goes, then I know that, you know, I'm going down that path again where I can easily go into the burnout mode again. So that's what I tend to stick to now. And it works.
Exactly. And it's clear from, you know, I have seen such a change. And even just, I think, I can't remember whether it was last week or the week before. And I was like, Sarah, what has happened? You look like a different person. And you really did look glowing. And I know that's because you have been really focused on making sure that happens.
Yeah.
And I know we can do this thing of, you know, almost like get to 5 o'clock, and because we're working really well, we're like, oh, I won't finish at 5, I'll finish at 6, I'll push that out. But that does create that untrust in ourselves as well. So it's so amazing that you've set those boundaries. But even with that, and you've said the meditation is key and all of these different things, what helps you to actually stick with those, whatever you want to call them, routines, rituals, how you set up your day, whatever you want to call it, but how do you stay super focused on actually making sure those things happen?
I think because I know now that if I don't do it, then it's a slippery slide back into that routine where, oh, well, you know, I'll work an extra 30 minutes or I'll work through my lunch hour. So I make sure that I block it out in my calendar now. I make sure that I book my lunch into the calendar, and I either go for a walk or go for a run, switch off at 5 o'clock and just walk away from my desk. Because I work from home, I think it's worse, because I think you can get into the routine of working all hours. And I think once you do that, then, you know, your clients then tend to think you're contactable outside normal working hours. So I think it's just setting boundaries now. And I think from what I've been through as well, because I was ill, I think now I look at life in a different way, and I just think, well, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. You know, I want to be healthy for my son and to have that time with him. You know, I feel so much better for doing it now, because I was so tired. I was just exhausted all the time.
And I think it is so key, isn't it? And sometimes it does take that kind of event or that action to actually make us see what we really need to see. But for someone maybe who has not had something so drastic, because as we know, you were in hospital, that was that big wake-up call of, hold on, you know, I'm sending my son off to school, I'm going to hospital, what on earth is going to happen? He didn't know what was going to happen. And I know how traumatic that was, going through that. So maybe someone who hasn't had such a kind of a wake-up call, what would you say to them to almost like help them focus on, look, work on this now before it is too late? How can they make that a little bit more urgent for themselves?
I think it's just getting into a routine. That's what's worked for me. And just sticking to that. Unless, I mean, obviously you do get times when things come into work that are urgent and you do have to do extra hours, but I don't do it all the time now. I'm not sat here after 5 o'clock, you know, carrying on working. I switch off completely. And I think it's just making sure that you set those boundaries for yourself, because if you don't, then, you know, suddenly you're back into the burnout mode. And I think it's just what I've been through in my life as well, because I've been through so many different things. And I think it just comes with age as well, I think. Because I'm a single parent, so if I don't look after myself, I can't look after my son, you know, and he's priority.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you're right. I think sometimes we get to an age, and it seems to be, I don't know about you, Sarah, but it kind of was after 40, I was a little bit like, you know what? I think stuff goes out the windows, isn't it? You don't care as much about things that you used to care about. Yeah. And even touching back on a point that you mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago about actually the boundaries with your clients, and maybe this almost, like I call it education, educating your clients on how you work, because it's before you were talking about actually setting that expectation that actually you would be working at maybe 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So maybe someone, and you've changed, and obviously now you've set new boundaries and new ways of working with your clients. So again, someone who's sitting there going, you know what, oh blimey, I relate to this. I'm doing exactly what Sarah was doing. You know, I'm working late. My clients are expecting this from me. What would you say to them? To is that maybe that first step or a couple of small steps that actually is going to help them re-educate their clients in their new way of working so they can gain some of that time back?
I think, you know, the first question would be, is it actually urgent, the work that you're doing? You know, is it life or death? Can it wait till tomorrow? That's the first thing that I would ask, because if you look at the work that you're actually working on, does it need to be done now? And also, is there a deadline set for it? That's what I always ask. If somebody asks me to do a job, I'll say, well, when do you want it by? Because if there's no deadline, then I can't work like that. And I need to know when it's in by. And then if I do get it done before the deadline, then that's all good. But I think that's the key to it for me. That's the first question what I would ask myself is, you know, does it need to be done now?
I love that. So what I'm really hearing there is setting those kind of expectations about deadlines. And I know it can be frustrating. Like I've worked with suppliers who clearly have too much work on and they've taken too much. And it's almost like this revolving circle of, you know, they need the money, so they're getting more clients. But realistically, you know, they're then perhaps not dealing with things. And I know how frustrating that can be. And I know, and you know, that's certainly not what you're doing with your clients here, which is amazing. So someone who maybe is in that kind of position and they're doing that and they keep rolling around with that, what do you think is really important to actually just almost like press the stop button, review it and go, look, you know, where am I here? I keep taking on more stuff because I feel like I need more and need more and need more. What would you say is the best thing to kind of do at that point?
I think that, you know, unless you work into deadlines, then that's how you end up getting yourself burnt out, because, and also the quality of your work is not going to be great because you're going to be so tired that I don't think the quality is going to be there. So that's why I always ask that question, when has it got to be done by? So I know the date that it's due, and if I can do it before then, that's great. But if I can't, then I'll just, you know, I think it's all about expectations at the end of the day. And I think you can get into a frenzy of, well, I've got to do this now. But actually, is it actually that urgent?
I love what you're saying about expectations. And it's so important, isn't it, to when you start with a client, to know, and I'll be the first to put my hand up and say, I haven't always done that in the past. And, you know, it has bitten me on the backside when actually, you know, I haven't maybe set expectations, or maybe, you know, even noticed kind of when things have changed. So you've talked here about expectations and working with your clients. Someone who is, you know, they're thinking, you know what, I'm working for someone at the moment, because again, this is something I know that you have been through. I'm working for someone. I don't really want to be working for someone. I want to work for myself. I want to start on this journey. What kind of tips and advice would you give them? And they're in that perfectionist mode. They're like, oh, I've got to be 100% perfect at everything. And I don't want to give this up. And I want security. And I want all of these things. What would you say to them as that kind of first step to start looking at actually, okay, yes, you can do this. Believe in yourself and just go for it.
I think that first step is always going to be scary because, you know, that's how I started out. I was actually looking for a job and then COVID hit. So obviously there was the job market just stopped completely. And then I just saw a job advertised for a virtual assistant. So I applied for that and it was only for a week's work. And they said, are you self-employed? I said, well, I can be. So I just set myself up thinking it was only for a week, and I ended up working for 12 months for that client. So I think,
oh wow,
I think you just have to be brave and just go for it, because, you know, I don't want to sit back in 10 years time and regret something, you know what I mean, and sitting in a job, because I was the same. I used to be employed and I always thought I want to be able to work for myself, but I didn't know how to do it. And then I was kind of just given this opportunity where it was there, so I just grabbed it with both hands.
I love that. So what I'm almost hearing within that is you need to just sometimes go for stuff, even when you don't know how it's going to work. Yeah.
I still don't know things now when I'm doing my job, but, you know, just do it. Just wing it.
Yeah, I love it. And we were actually talking about that before we came on. And Simon, who produces the podcast, he is here in the background, but just not online at this point in time. And we were talking about this, like, okay, what's a more professional word for winging it? He's just back, joined us a second. But yeah, this, what's a more professional word? And please do, I would love the listeners to actually like message in and let us know, what is a more professional word for winging it? Because let's face it, I think, quite frankly, the majority of us in life are winging it, right? Making it up as we're going. Yeah, exactly. See, I'm sure it's not just us. No. I'm really sure of this.
I think it's the best learning curve, because you learn through your mistakes, you know. So
Exactly. And it is, isn't it? It's diving in at the deep end, figuring out as you go along, and seeing what happens, right? That's where the biggest growth is. That does, as you say, though, take courage. So, that's the bit that's the hard bit, right? The actual putting your big girl pants on, big boy pants on, right? And actually going for it. Again, what are maybe some tips that you've got for someone who, you know, at the moment is quite frankly pooping their pants? They're in that kind of in-between stage of like, oh, I want to do this and I can feel the excitement. But one minute they're excited, the next minute they're pooping their pants and they don't quite know where they are. What would you say to them as that step of, you know what, go for it and just believe that everything is going to be okay? So I suppose my question is, how do they find that courage?
I think it's don't be afraid of failure, because I always used to be frightened of failing. I thought it was a bad thing, but it's not. It's not at all. I think you learn through your mistakes. You learn so much more through, you know, your failures in life. And if something doesn't work, then you try something else and just keep going. That's what I've done. Just keep trying something else. Pivot.
Pivot. I love that. As Ross in Friends. If anyone anyone who ever says the word pivot to me, I just have Ross from Friends with a sofa on the stairs. Sorry, Sarah. It's just
no,
that word
that
for
one.
Me.
Do
you not? Oh, no. Sarah, you are missing out.
Right.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
I'll be Googling after.
I love it. And even within that, so you just talked about, you know, that now you don't have this fear of failure. You did maybe prior. What do you think changed for you? What was the switch?
I think working with you to start with.
High five, thank
no,
you.
No, because I think now, because, you know, you have helped me so much. And I feel like I'm a different person to what I was when we first started.
Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I just think I just think it's how you learn. If you don't fail, how would you actually learn in life? I always saw it as a bad thing, but I don't think it is, because you know the amount of people that you look at all these people that I follow on YouTube and things, and you read about the lives, and you know they failed so many times. But it's how you get yourself back up and shake yourself off and start again. That's it. Makes you a stronger person, doesn't it?
And you do get used to it, don't you? I think it's the first couple of times are the hardest, and it is almost like diving in, isn't it? And just almost like, you know, setting yourself up for a position actually that you can almost like fail in a more controlled environment type of situation, maybe to start with. Although, as you know, reform and control freaks, we like to, you know, semi-control things, don't we, Sarah?
Workaholics.
I know, workaholic, you know, refill. We said we kind of joked, didn't we? We're going to set up like a AA type group, yeah. You know, reforming workaholics, reforming perfectionists, performing control freaks, you know, throw a couple of these things in and yeah, a bit of everything, right? And I think that is almost sometimes a little bit about age as well and different things. And what, you know, now you're saying, you know, about this whole getting over the fear of failure and actually just diving in and what have you. What are the kind of the mantras or the things that you say to yourself or something like that that actually helps you to go, you know what, dust yourself off, get back up and keep going?
I think doing it for my son to start with. He's just joined me now. He's beside me. And I think, I don't know, I think it just comes from perhaps being a single parent, you know, because there's nobody else that's going to do it. There's only me to do it. So, you know, I don't want to look back in 10, 15 years and think, you know, I wish I'd done that, you know, really. And when I was ill, I thought, you know, I don't feel ready to go yet. There's more that I want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not going.
I'm not going yet. More stuff. I'm not ready.
Love that. And even within that, are there certain kind of beliefs that you have? I know, for example, one of my beliefs is, you know, I'll always find a way, which sometimes can, you know, almost like push me a bit too far, right? Because I'm always like, I will always find a way. I'm determined. What kind of beliefs or sayings do you have like that, that you feel really kind of have helped you along the way and got you to the place where you are now?
I think because I've been through so many things in my life, I just think, you know, I feel strong, and I just think, you know, I'm not going to let this stop me. You know, it's only a blip. I can get through it. If I can get through being poorly, I can get through anything.
I love this. So what I'm hearing is almost like your mantras behind that is like, if I've can get through the stuff that I've got through in the past, yeah, then this is, you know, going to be easy, yeah, because I've been through so much stuff in the past, yeah, that actually
this is nothing compared to what I've been through.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's really important to remember, isn't it? Because there's so many people who have been through so much stuff, yet for some reason we're kind of scared of what would be actually what would feel like simple things. And we can almost like beat ourselves up for that, can't we? Like, I've been through all this stuff, but why am I scared of this really like insignificant thing that's happening here? So as we wrap up then, and thank you to everybody for listening. As we wrap up, what would you say are kind of like your top, maybe, you know, your top number one tip for someone who is on the personal development journey? Maybe they don't have the resources to invest in a coach, because the podcast I really want to have as this, you know, resource for people who want to be in the world of personal development, don't necessarily feel that they have the resources right now to work with a coach, but they want to develop. What is the first, maybe one, two or three things that you would say, okay, start here on your journey?
Try and find a way to do it, because it's been the best thing that I've ever done. You know, I think, you know, if I look at where I've come from to where I am now, it's just been absolutely mind-blowing. And it, you know, if I hadn't have done it, where would I be now? So I think find a way to do it if you can, you know, because it's just it's been amazing. And don't have any regrets.
I love that. I really do love that. And I know, you know, and I know even myself, like, it's been scary sometimes investing in yourself. And especially as, you know, it's not, especially when you're English, it's not the done thing, is it, to like buy stuff. We're all good like spending money on time on other people, but actually spending on ourselves is a little bit harder. But even with what you've said today, you know, meditations, and there's so many different places that you can get meditations for free. And certainly you've got the whole kind of portal on my website. You can get all the free stuff as well. So I think, yeah, like you say, Sarah, if you can, just go for it, right? That's what I'm really hearing.
Yeah, because I think the rewards from doing it are just, you know, I thought that at first, can I afford it? But what I've got from it, it's worth so much more than money, you know what I mean? It's given me so much. I feel a different person than what I was when I started with you coaching, because I just feel like I'm able to set boundaries for myself now, where it was when I started, I didn't do that. And because I like helping people, I'd say yes to everything. And then, you know, ended up burning myself out.
And that's quite a statement really, isn't it?
The coaching works.
Yeah, this stuff works, right? And that's the thing, I think, isn't it? It's like personal development works. That sometimes it can feel tough, but at the end of the day, when you keep going, like, the good stuff's on the other side of fear. So thank you so much for being here with me today, Sarah. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you're having a great day. And do reach out with any questions, comments. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.